morning's message. I thought the best way to start this was for some of you just to introduce myself and my family to this church. My name is Pastor Matt Stewart, and we're going to put this picture up here for you. On the far left is my oldest son, Chase, who lives in a little feedback here in Beverly Hills. My daughter, Skye, lives in Fresno, California, working at a large church there. My son, Ryder, who's on the front row with my wife, is here with us studying at Regent to become a veterinarian, doing the biophysics degree there. And then you have my beautiful wife, and he's 20. I'm sorry, my son's 27. Skye is 23. And then my wife is 32. Am I smart? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Now, here's the crazy part is we are going to be celebrating on the 14th 32 years of marriage, so figure that out. I don't know how that goes down. Also, I've been pastoring with the Assemblies of God, licensed and ordained with them for the past 32 years. So that's our family in a nutshell. I believe that God has a specific word for us today. And I believe that many of you are about to walk into a time of renewal, blessing, and freedom. Back in early September, I don't know if you guys caught my message on Strike the Ground. And in that story, it was very quickly as Elisha is wanting to bless Jehoash with ultimate victory over the Syrian army. But Jehoash falls short on firing the arrows, and so he does not see the victories coming to completion, which the message really was teaching us and wanting to inspire us to proclaim our victories, to shoot the arrows from our mouth and proclaim victory in the name of the Lord. One of the main thoughts that came out of it was, if I proclaim God's move with a strong faith, then my expectancy for victory needs to match the level of my faith. Okay, so if I'm going to speak it, and I'm going to speak it strongly, then my expectancy and my anticipation for God to show up needs to be at that same level. Today, I would like to, if you want to kind of call it a part two, but completely different, I'd like to talk to you about speaking to your situations. And I really believe this, that not only does God want to proclaim you to proclaim and declare victory in your life, but that he also has given you the authority to speak directly to your situations, to your circumstances. 2020 has been quite the roller coaster. Financially, physically, spiritually, politically, emotionally, and it goes on and on and on. I can remember when we were in 2019, everybody was excited about 2020. It was going to be that new decade. It was that new year. Business slogans were based off of like clear vision. We were doing our New Year's resolutions, praying for new vision. Is everybody with me? That's who we were. And then now we've gotten into the year and we just can't wait for it to end. It's kind of how we feel. But let me say this. I know that it has been that way, but I want to make sure that you hear me say this. My God is an awesome God. And our God is still in control. Okay? There's been some horrible things happen this year, but there's also been some blessed things that have happened. And I am thankful for that. I want to talk to you a little bit out of the book of chapter of Isaiah 61. And just real quickly, if you read chapter 60 before in Isaiah, it's kind of talking about the glorious light of God's kingdom. That's where we get the scripture, arise, shine, for the light has come. Okay? In chapter 62, it talks about the glorious future for Zion. Now, Zion is just another way of saying Jerusalem, so that they're going to be protected. But we're going to be in 61, and I want to start with verse 1, Isaiah 61, verse 1, and read along with me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and a release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. We have family, friends, and coworkers right now that are trapped in despair. Okay? Stay with me here. Now here's I want you to pay attention to this. They will be called oaks of righteousness, planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work at your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. And you will be named ministers of God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. How many of you guys could use a double portion right now? Amen? Blessing. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so, you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Give me an amen. How many of us understand and believe that the Old Testament still speaks into the lives today? I'm going to tell you, in a lot of the young new believers, sometimes they lean more on the New Testament. But I want you to know, and I want you to know that I'm a pastor that believes both the Old Testament and the New Testament speaks into the lives of God's children. Isaiah 61 began, and it began with Isaiah prophetically speaking for the Messiah. Speaking the words of Christ. And we're going to fast forward now, hundreds of years later. And here's Jesus in Luke 4, starting in verse 16. And it says that Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And listen to where how this sounds familiar now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So what we read at the very beginning is Isaiah prophetically speaking that this is what Christ is going to say. And here he is, and Christ says, "I've said it, and now it's been fulfilled." Isaiah 61 goes on to address the ministry of Christ. We just read it there. I'm going to say it again to you. To comfort all who mourn. To provide for those who grieve. To give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. To give the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And then starting in verses 4 through 6, and this is where I want to build this now. Isaiah reveals what God's people, everybody say God's people. Listen, in that scripture where we read, okay, it's talking about the Israelis. But here we are now in 2020, this scripture speaks to us now. We are God's people. I am a child of God. I am a friend of God. And I claim this. And so this is speaking to us now. And it's talking about what we're going to do because God's word is living. So listen to this. It says they will rebuild the ancient ruins. I know that I've got family, I've got friends, and I know of coworkers in the past that I know right now that they find themselves sitting in the middle of ruins. They're just sitting there. They don't know what to do. They've been there. They feel trapped, and it's all around them. And so it's saying right here, it says that they will, talking about we will, help people rebuild. We're going to help them come out of their ruined state. Some of us in this room might be sitting and going, "I don't know how to get out of this, but I want to." It's time for you to get up, and let's start rebuilding it. Let's get out of the ruins. Restoring the places long devastated. It says they will renew the ruined cities. It says that you will be called high priests. You're going to be the priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. And you will receive, here it is again, a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And you will inherit a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy is going to be yours. Let that sink in. This is who we are. This is what God has for us. How many of us could use a little bit of that right now? Just say right now with your mouth. Right here and right now. I'm going to be very honest with you. You know, the Lord is expecting us to find a place of transparency this morning. Everybody, listen to what I'm saying. He's going to expect all of us to sit here with some transparency in his presence today. There are those of us that have walked in today, and you need a miracle in your life. Some of you have come in, and you have a mountain that just needs to be moved. And for others, you just have nothing left to give. Did you know that's possible for us to do that if we're not careful? We can find a place where we just don't have anything else to give. Today, we are going to speak to your situation. We are going to be specific. We are going to be clear, and we are going to see God move in our lives. We have been given the authority to do so, called priests. Let me say it again, called priests and named ministers of God. It's in the Word. It's scriptural. It's been fulfilled. So that means we get to walk in it. Speaking clearly, when I was a freshman in college, one of the classes that most people want to get out of the way the first year because they dread it the most is our speech class, okay? I've never had a problem with speech. I just haven't. For whatever reason, the Lord has always just made it very easy for me to get up in front of people and talk. I have no problems with it. But I had a class of 40 or 50 that were in there with me that did have problems with it. Had a girl that sat next to me that the day she showed up to do her speech, she was covered in hives, okay? I had two buddies that were in the same class with me, and before their speeches, they would run out and throw up real fast before they could come in and do it. I watched people sweat like I've never seen people sweat before, you know? But I had this teacher, this professor, that just kind of walked us through it. She gave us these three points, and I want to give them to you. I'm going to give them to you from a scholastic point, and then we're going to look at it spiritually. Is that okay? First thought is this. She would say, slow down and just take a deep breath. Let's do that. Do it. I already feel better. She would say, practice your grammar. When you practice your grammar, what happens is the more that you talk, it allows you to kind of form the way and hear yourself so that when you talk to somebody, you're going to communicate to where they understand. So she said, just practice your grammar. The third thing she would say is say what is difficult to say. So some of that was poetry. Some of it was tongue twisters. I got one that's called like an Arkansas twister. I'm going to do it for you. When I was traveling through Arkansas, I saw a saw that could outsaw any saw I ever saw. If you see a saw that can outsaw that saw, I want to see that saw. Yeah, come on. You can give me a hand for that. That's not an easy thing to do. So I'm sitting there, and I started thinking about these lessons, and it's rolling through my head because of the scripture that we're going through. And I started thinking about when she was, you know, talking about the first part where it was slow down and take a deep breath. You know, we take these deep breaths, we breathe oxygen in. As the oxygen goes in, it goes into our blood cells, and it's carried throughout our body to be used for energy. I don't know if you know this, but our brain alone requires 20% of that oxygen. So I started thinking, if I can breathe in something that I cannot see, but I know that I need it, and I know that it exists, why can I not do the same thing with this Holy Spirit? I cannot see him. I know that I feel him. I know how he moves. And that if I take in a breath and I breathe it in, then I believe that it's going into every part of my body to be used for his glory. Okay? The second, and here's the second thought, practicing your grammar. This is keep talking to God. Keep asking Jesus to touch your life, and be also, you need to be more consistent to speaking to your circumstances, to your situations. And to say what is difficult to say, listen to this for a second. There are things that we need removed, some of us, or things that we need help with that sometimes are just too embarrassing. They seem impossible to fix. The mountain that I'm speaking of, without God, it's not going to be moved because it's too high. It's too big to go around. I'm not going to be able to dig under it, so I need God to intervene. And some of you might say, I'm not sure if I even have the faith to be able to ask for what I really need. And I'm going to tell you something. The enemy loves it when we get into places like this. My situation may be too difficult to speak to. It might be too difficult to ask. It might seem impossible with no end in sight, but I want to say this to you, and here's the thought. We need to get past the difficult and start asking God for his best in our lives. At some point, we have to do this. Jeremiah 33:3 says, Call to me and I will answer you. I tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. In fact, the Bible also says we don't have because we what? We're not speaking to our situation. So I say this in the name of Jesus. Be bold in your speech. Give it to him. So I want to look at being more specific just from the eyes of Christ. Just bear with me for a second. We're going to get to the main points. With the blind man from Bethsaida, small village, he goes and finds this blind man. He walks him outside the village. And we know the story. He spits in his hands and he touches the blind man's eye. And he asks him this very specific question. He says, what do you see? Now think about this for a second. I have ordered steaks many times from restaurants. I order it medium. That's just the way I like it. I know people like it different ways, but I want mine medium. You sit there for about 25, 30 minutes, and they finally bring you your steak. They ask you to cut into it, and you cut into it, and it's medium well. And what happens is, many times, I've said, it's okay, I'm going to take it. And you know why? Because I'm hungry. And I've been sitting there for 30 minutes, and I don't want them to take it back and have to start over. So I just take it. But it's not completed the way that I asked for it to be. There's no completion there. So I'm settling. Does everybody see what I'm saying? So what happens is he touches this man's eyes, and it says that he can see color. He can see shapes. He sees light. So he could have easily just started running off right then and there and just saying, I can see. But it wasn't completed. Jesus is a Lord of completion. Okay? And so luckily the man says, I see figures of men and women, and they're walking around, and they look like trees. So he touches his eyes again and he completes it. Then we have healing the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. He just says to him, he just point blank says, do you want to get well? Y'all remember the story? And then John 5:11, it says, he goes, take up your bed and walk. He just speaks to the situation. He just said, he's not going to play games. He says, take up your bed and walk. He later comes and finds him in John 5:14. He says, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. So he's basically saying, don't go back to the way you were, because it's going to get worse. And isn't that a lesson for all of us? Amen. Woman at the well. The statement that comes out of this is he makes the statement of what you have said is true. Jesus is having this conversation with the Samaritan woman. He's talking about true worshipers. He's talking about water of life and life everlasting and never thirsting again. And she just can't believe what she's hearing. And so in 4:16, he says, he told her, go call your husband and come back. She says, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. I literally this week started thinking about if I would have been the Samaritan woman. And I'm sitting there having this conversation with a man that I have never heard this kind of stuff before. And then he looks at me and says, go get your wife. And knowing that I have already had five wives, and the girl that I'm with now or living with now is not my wife, I could almost see myself being tempted going, okay, cool, I'm going to do it. And I go and I never come back. Is everybody with me? Here's the lesson that comes out of this. Being transparent before the Lord and speaking truth brings freedom into our lives. It might be embarrassing. It might be difficult. But when we speak it, when we're transparent, everything gets lifted. Freedom comes into our lives. And then the last story is with Lazarus. You know the story. He walks up to the tomb. His buddy has been dead now for 4 days. They don't even want him to roll the stone back because it's going to stink. And he says, Lazarus, come out. Now here's the thought. He's very specific by calling him by name, because what if he would have walked up and said, you who are dead, come out of that tomb. You know how many people would have rose in that resurrection power, that spirit that would have flowed through there? Specific. Jesus spoke directly into every situation and person that he encountered. We choose when enough is enough. We can be sitting there in our own ruins. And at some point we wake up and we go, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. We recognize the power of the spoken word. We can speak directly to our situations in the name of Jesus. Just say Jesus. 1985, I went out to play basketball for Bethany University in Santa Cruz, California. I lived in Fort Worth, Texas at the time, and so I actually had to go home after I met the president of the university. He told me he wanted me to come out and play basketball for him. I had to go home and look on a map where Santa Cruz was. Man, was I happy when I saw where it was. And I get out there, and I'm meeting the team. We're practicing, and we're getting closer to our first games, and we start talking about non-conference games and conference games. And there were two teams. There was a team called the Crusaders. I can't remember what school they were from, but they were bigger than us. And then there was the University of California, Santa Cruz, which was also a bigger team. One team had a 6'11", and the team of the Crusaders, which I want to talk about today, had a 6'10 center that was just tearing everybody up. So, it kind of had me a little, pull that off just for a second. I was a little anxious. I was worrying. And so I was like, we got to the game time, and I just said, let's just see what happens. And so we're out there. I'm warming up on this side. We're stretching and whatever. Well, that 6'10 walks over to half court, and he looks down at us and just starts cussing us out, what he's going to do to us. F-bombs, bomb, everything's going off. And I'm just looking at this dude going, are you being serious? I'm like stretching. I'm like, I don't even want to listen to this guy. A real kind of Goliath moment, you know what I mean? And then they called the captains to the middle. We're going to come out. We're going to shake hands. And all of a sudden, we're waiting on the ref to come over and talk to us. And sure enough, he's standing. He's looking down at me, you're a punk. You're a this and that. I mean, swearing at me, And I'm just looking at this guy going, God, dude, would you shut up? I just didn't want to listen to him anymore. So the guy, ref, comes and talks to us. Well, when we walked away from that middle, something snapped. I just said, enough is enough. I'm not doing this. I'm looking at my bench. The wind is already out of their sails. We're not even wanting to play this game. And I walked over and I said, no, we're not doing this. And the coach comes right up to me and says, Matt, I want you to take the tip. Well, guys, you're going to see it in a second. At that time, I was 6'3 and a half, 6'4. This guy's 6'10. I grew 2 inches while I was in college. But I just, in my mind, I said, I'm winning this tip. That's just all there is going to be to it. So we go out to the middle of the court. And I line up with this guy. Well, in pros and college and out, you see, they're almost chest to chest. They're just trying to jump as fast as they can to get it as soon as the guy lets it go. Well, back in my day, you wanted to show how high you could jump. So we're getting in these stances, man. We're ready to jump. And he's there, and he's ready to go. And he's just arrogant in the whole thing. And here comes the ref with the ball. And as soon as I saw him get about 10 feet to us, I looked over at the guy and go, hey. And he looked at me, and I said, I'm going to win this tip. And he goes like that and cussed me out or whatever. Now you can put the picture up. So here you can see it. I beat that sucker by about 4 or 5 inches up there. And guys, let me tell you, and do you like those shorts? Those are Larry Bird specials right there, man. But here's the thing. Winning that tip changed the entire atmosphere of the game. Everything changed. All of a sudden, our team is energized, their bench is silent, and all of a sudden, we understood that we belonged on the court with them. And guys, I'll be honest with you, for the rest of the game, I'm running up and down the court around this guy, and I'm saying things to him like, you can't guard me, I heard your mom's pretty, you know what I'm saying? I'm messing with this dude, And guys, we ended up beating that team by almost 20 points, and we weren't even supposed to be able to be on the floor with them. We need to start realizing that we belong in the kingdom of God. We belong. And he wants to use us, that we are called to build the kingdom of God and that we are capable. So let's get into these three thoughts. Speaking to your situation, the first thought is this. Align your words with God. What I love about being in tune with God is that he is all about timing. Perfect timing. Might not be on our timetable, but it's perfect timing. Habakkuk 2:3 says, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, and it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It surely will come. It will not delay. The enemy is always watching us, I promise you. And it's not just because when things are going bad, I promise you he's watching when things are going good. Always looking for a door to open. Whatever can be done to make sure you never move past what's going on in your life, he's going to do it. that you never move forward, that you never see victory, or to keep you silent against your accuser. The devil will always work hard at keeping you captive. So with this in mind, I have to make sure that I'm aligned with God. How? My words, my life, my desires. Psalms 139, starting with verse 23, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." God, give me the words. Is everybody with me? You know what I'm saying? Give me the words where Proverbs 25:11 says, the right word at the right time. That's perfect timing. That's God. Remember who you are. Remember the prophetic words of Christ. I'm going to read it to you again. This is what we read in 61 earlier. They will be called. Who is they? It's you. It's you. This is all about you. That you will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for display of his splendor. Just in case you're not following me, I'm going to say this to you. You are an oak of righteousness. You are going to be planted. You are going to be strong. And you are going to be visible. So with that in mind, what God is about to do through you is going to put the splendor of the Lord on display for all to see. That's what that scripture's saying. Get aligned with God. Know God's word. Build up a prayer life. Start listening, always looking. Get tuned into God. God is about to do a miracle in your life, and everybody's going to see it. Second thought is be specific with your requests. Get specific with your words. John 14:13-14 says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name." What does it say? I will do it. That's scriptural. Remember, Jesus was specific. He was about completion. Jesus didn't do anything without completion. In the Greek, teleo speaks to bring to a close. He's going to finish it. It's going to end. You know, we're wanting to be healed. We could be sitting in here today saying, I need to be delivered, or I need some help with something. And what happens is, at some point, you have to say, I will not live another day of fear. This ends today. Completion. It's done. In the name of Jesus. Fear might have created my situation, but my faith is about to end it. Remember who you are. You are priests of the Lord. Give me an amen on that. You have the direct access. You have the right to approach God through his son Jesus. So be specific to your situation. Speak to it. So here, let me give you some thoughts. A mountain. You could go on with this for days, because I think for all of us, mountains can be different things. They represent different things. But say it's fear. Say it's unforgiveness. Is it about your job? Don't just say, God, remove the mountain. Tell me, it's about my job. I'm addicted to pornography, or I'm needing change in my life. What's the change? Be specific. Is everybody following me? Healing. Don't just say, God, heal my knee. If you have a cartilage problem, say, God, heal my cartilage. Restore blood flow to it. Touch the bones around it. Is everybody with me? Talk to him about it. Addiction. What specifically needs to go? Where is it that you're needing victory in your life? If it's about your marriage, I've done a lot of marriage counseling. And here's the thing is I can be with somebody, talk with them for weeks, but there's going to be things they're not going to tell me. Is everybody with me? And so if I'm going to say, I need healing in my marriage, what if it's like, God, I want to be able to talk to her again. Please allow us to start. And you see what I'm saying? I'm being very specific about what I need in my marriage. There's bondage. There's hopelessness. There's no direction. Speaking of ruins, you can just get up one day and just say, in the name of Jesus, I don't belong here anymore. I'm going to get up, God. I'm going to rebuild, and I need your help. I'm not going to stay here anymore. And then what about more of God? What if it's just that you just want more of God? Then tell him what you want. What do you want from him that's more? Let him know. He already knows. Is everybody following me? but he wants to hear you say it. It's the power of that word. It leads me to the third thought and final. Speak life. Everybody say life. It's what we want. It's why we're here. Eternal life. We're thankful for Jesus dying on the cross for each and every one of us and what he saved us from. And it brought us life. So start speaking life over yourself. Life-giving words. Use God's word, his promises to set you on a right path of freedom. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope." Stop using words that reinforce what is wrong and start using words that create what is right. Just look at that for a second and read it. Don't reinforce in your life what is wrong. Start creating what is right. Get before God. Speak life over and into your situations. Proverbs 25:11, it says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver." Proverbs 16:24 says, "Nothing is more appealing than speaking beautiful, life-giving words, for they release sweetness to our souls." And what does it say? An inner healing to our spirits. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team back up. I want you guys to remember this promise. I'm going to read it again because I want it to sink in here. Instead of your shame, it says that you will receive a double portion. I like going to restaurants and getting double portions. It makes me happy. I got to work out a little more that week, but I like a good double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance, and so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Well, I'm going to close this up, but I want to just say this. We're going to take communion today. I believe that there are some of us that are going to need some altar time today, and we're going to open this up for you. And I'm going to promise you this, that when you get up and you're done praying, the ushers are going to be waiting for you, and they're going to hand you as you go back to your seats. They're going to be waiting for you, and they're going to give it to you. But I want to say these things. I want to recap. Align your words with God. Amen? Secondly, be specific for what you're wanting to say to the Lord. And speak life over yourself and to others. Decide now. I am tired of having the life sucked out of me. Is everybody with me? It's done. It's over. This is not going on anymore. Get ready. Double portion of blessing. Get ready. There's freedom coming. Mountains are moving in the name of Jesus. We're looking in for completion. Everybody say completion. Finished. It's done. It ends. Speak to your situations in the name of Jesus and remember who you are. You are a royal priesthood and you are ministers of God. Isaiah 35:10, last scripture. "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing." What does it say? "Everlasting joy." Here it is again. "Shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." How about just kind of put this into your study. Take out sorrow and sighing. You can put in there situations and circumstances. They got to go. They're going to flee away in the name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. And even now, to God, that as we open up our hearts to you, we're choosing to be transparent. Remember that. All of us being transparent. And Father, I just believe that we have those here today that they need to come. They need to come to the altar. They have things that they need to speak directly to. No matter what it is, even if it's just that they want more of you, but that God, here is where we're going to pray for. And I'm asking you, dear Lord, that you're going to anoint that time. You're going to bless them from the top of their heads to their soles of their feet. But this is really about asking you, speaking to you specifically so that you can bring completion. So even now that if that's you, if you think, "Pastor Matt, I need to come down. I need to pray. I'm struggling. I need help. I want more of God." If that's you, I want you to come down even as I pray. And Lord, that you're going to set apart this time. It's a perfect timing for them to do this. You're going to touch them. You're going to anoint them. You're going to move through them. And as they talk to you, Lord, as they're honest, as they're transparent, Lord, you will heal them. As they come, as they move, remember that the devil wants you to stay exactly where you are. He wants you to remain silent. Do not accuse your accuser. But we are going to come down, Lord, and these that come, Lord, you're going to talk to them. You're going to move through them. And Lord, for the rest of us, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminders of who we are, that we are priests of the Lord, that we are ministers of you. God, that we are oaks of righteousness. And what you're about to do in our lives is going to put your splendor on display for all to see. And everybody said, amen. We're going to continue to pray. Worship team, go ahead and begin to pass.